very good morning. Good morning to you, Namibia. And good morning to you, my dear listeners. Well, it's a Saturday morning, the 18th of October, and the year is 2025. And thank you, ladies. Thank you, ladies, for handing over the mic to the big mic coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. A very good morning if you're just joining us, and thank you for just coming on the right time, joining us on Eagle FM. This is Mind Matter, so your go-to radio show where we tackle or we really look at the characteristics of human behavior and how you can live your life a bit freer and a bit happier. So that's much we're looking at. So we look at the psychological pattern and social factors that affect how you think, how you feel, and how you make choices in life, how you make decision in life. Thank you for joining us and welcome. So today the weather looks, it's that kind of cloudy, rainy, cloudy, you know. I'm not a weather person. I don't even know how to put this. It's a rainy cloudy. Those kind of clouds that look as if they are going to rain. It brings a bit of a cool breeze, you know, better than usual. So I don't know how long that's going to last, but yeah, I'm enjoying it. I can't see outside now that I'm in the studio, but when I came in, that was the weather. So I couldn't even when I woke up because that it was really good, some kind of weather. So yeah, where are you listening us from? Are you listening us from Windhoek, Aruab, you know, Karibib, Rundu, Katima, you know, Opuo? Where are you listening us from? So, well, welcome wherever you're listening us from, and you're most welcome. And so, welcome to the show, and I want you to be part of the show. So make sure that you are part of the show. My name is Mike Oshoveni, your social behaviorist, coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio. Today, we are tackling a question that probably crossed your mind more times than you think, than you would like to think, actually, or like to admit. So is why do you care what other people say or think about you? Why do you care? So, and I want to make it this, you know, from the very beginning already, I'm going to look at some few things. I'm going to go a little bit, how would I say it? I'm going to go a bit on a, you know, when how the wine slowly, you know, mature, and, you know, I'm going to go slow today, and I wanted you to be part of this. And so looking at this question, why do you care? Why do you care what other people say or think about you? So this is more about you coming through and tell me, why do you care why people think about you, or why do you care what people say or think about you? That's what I want you. Oh, yes. You know, that nagging voice in your head when your auntie whisper, okay, when are you bringing the, you know, is asking, when are you getting married? So that nagging voice in your head about your auntie or about your mother-in-law, that when are you getting pregnant? so those kind of voice and many, many other voice, you know. I was chatting, you know, let me give you maybe an example of what I'm talking about. I was chatting with a friend the other day, you know, Mavis. Her name is Mavis. Sorry, Mavis, I mentioned your name already. It's out of Swakop, out in Swakop. Now, she was telling me about how she got this brilliant idea for a small business, you know, making traditional Namibian inspired jewelry. So she got the skill. I know she got the skill and she got the passion and she got everything, I think, you know, when it comes to that. But she was hesitant. And when I asked her why, she said, what will my neighbor think? You know, so she asked, what would my neighbor think? What would her auntie also? What did my auntie say? It's not a proper work, you know? So, and this story, you know, it's a simple story that I want to tell. This is not unique. There are other stories that you can, that I can tell you. And you have your own story. This is not unique. How many of us have held back? So how many of us have held back from pursuing a dream, from expressing an opinion, you know, from even wearing that outfit we love because of the silent, sometime because of the silent or sometime not so silent judgment of others? How many of us have done that? How many of us have held back from pursuing, and this is very important, from pursuing what you are not being genuine, you're not being authentic. So because you're holding back from pursuing what you really, sometimes what you really want to say, we won't talk about where does it all this coming from. It's still natural. This is not something that is unnatural. It's still a natural human behavior. So to care about what other people are saying, and we're gonna look at where does that, what has influenced us to care about what people think or what people say about us. So we look at the psychological foundation. We're also looking at social and cultural influences. And then later on, something that I want to talk about as well is, when does it become a problem? I think caring about what other people are saying, as I said, that's a normal human behavior. But when does it become a problem? So we're going to actually look at that, when it becomes a problem. And towards the end, we're also going to look at, you know, how do I stop that? How do I stop being caring about what other people say? So as you can see, we have so much to talk about. And if you don't come along, if not staying along, sustain, come along, definitely you're going to miss quite a lot. So make sure that you are here. So for now, you are part of this. You're coming through, are part of this, because I need to hear your experience. Why do you care so much of what people think or say about you? So that's what we're discussing about, and you're most welcome to come through. And also part of music. Music is also, so now and then we also have some music there and there. So let's start off with the music. Let's just start with some music. Those old, you know, do you remember the 3T? Yeah? And there's a beautiful song, Anything. I'm going to play that. I haven't heard it for a while now. Possibly you'll be also thinking, yeah, haven't heard that for a while too. All right. 3T coming up with Anything.
I'll give you love, the things you want. Ooh, I would do anything for you. I would do anything for you. I would do anything, girl, anything for you. So I can hold you tight, pain in my heart because I'm all alone. Why did you leave? Why did your love have to go? When I would do anything for you, I would. Thinking of ways that I can win your heart, but I'm so confused and to start. Visions of love forever in my mind. I wait for the day when I can say that love's mine. Yeah. 'Cause I would do anything. give up. Open your heart and let your feelings show. Cause deep down inside, my heart just won't let you go. Girl, I would do anything for you. Yes,
that is 3D, anything that those, you know, those kind of songs that we, you know, you have, you don't hear them quite often anymore. Yeah, those R&B love songs that, you know, so beautiful. Welcome back. And today we are talking about why do you care what other people say or think about you. So that's our topic this morning. And I give an example of Mavis, the friend of mine. Let me give an example. I remember when I was young. Okay, let me give you this. I remember when I was young, maybe about 15 or so, I was incredible shy. I would say I was incredible shy. I wanted to join the school debate club, but the thought of standing up in front of everyone with all those eyes on me, it was actually terrifying to think about. So my biggest fear was afraid of making myself a fool, make a fool of myself. So what if I go there and make a fool of myself? What if I stumble? You know, what if I said something silly? What if they laughed? You know, what if they laugh? Now that perceived laughter, you know, when you perceived laughter or potential judgment. So it felt like, it felt like a physical weight on my chest, you know, holding me back from actually trying. And I think this is not just something that I felt, the only one who felt that. So, but I'm remember that I did eventually overcame that, and I was part of the debating club, of the school debate club, which, well, eventually I end up on a national level where we didn't win, but yeah. So this story resonates maybe with your own story, isn't it? So, and there are a couple of things in our life that we are holding back, that we hold back because of our fear. You know, fear of making fool of ourselves. Maybe a fear of being stumbling, afraid of being stumbled, fear of being silly, whatever the case may be. Fear of being laughed. Yeah. Some people have fear of being successful. Yeah, there are people who actually have a fear of being successful. Because, you know, if you become successful, what other people now start to think, they will start talking and then they will start to do something to you. You know, there are so many things. You can tell your story. What is your story? Yeah? You can tell your story. Yeah. But what I said, It is a fundamental part of being, this is a fundamental part of being a human being, you know? Why? Because this need, we have this need of belonging, the need for belonging, for acceptance. So, and as a social behavior professional, I can tell you, it is not a weakness. It's not something that you may feel this is a weakness or something. It is deeply ingrained. This is this whole question, this whole thing of need for belonging, for need for acceptance. This is deeply ingrained in evolutionary trait. You know that evolutionary trait. When we talk about evolutionary trait, I'm talking about that in our ancestral past, being accepted by the group it meant survival. You know, so if you were ostracized, let's say for example you're ostracized by the group, you were vulnerable because you're on your own. The lions and whatever weathers and you know, in those times are totally different. So you are vulnerable. So our brain are hardwired to pay attention to the social cues and to understand what is deemed acceptable within our community. So, and that's why it is very important to, that's why we care what other people are saying, because it's something that actually we inherited. It's kind of like you say, it's genetic from human history. You understand? So, yeah. And that's why, as I said, we look out at what is deemed acceptable within our community, you know, and behave accordingly. And in the way also search, you know, that approach, that confirmation from others, because that's what is accepted in that community. So we can't also do certain things because we look for validations, because that's the value accepted within that community, within that country, or wherever you can expand that. Now, but here is the fascinating part, you know, my dear friend. So here's the fascinating part. That same wiring that makes us sensitive to others' opinions can also be our great catalyst for growth. So the very same wiring, you know, system that makes us, that make you sensitive to other people's opinion, to others' opinion, we can still, it's the very same one we can use for our own growth. So now when we understand why, when we understand why we care, now we can start actually to shift our perspective. So when we understand why do we care what others, why do we care what others think or say about us? Why do we care? So we can move when, once we start to understand that, the why we care, so we can start to shift our perspective. We can move from being prisoners of the echo chamber, you know, the echo chamber, to becoming more, poetic wise, to become more conductors of our own symphony. Eh? Yeah. So now what we're going to do is actually looking at why do we care? Eh? Why do we care? Why do we care what other people say or think about you? So because, as I said, this is not a weakness. This is a natural human, a human condition. I'll call it a condition because it's something as if it's something that we inherited, if you like, as there are reasons why we do. So first of all, let's look at this in terms of psychological, you know. So let's start by looking at some scientific insight into why we care about others' opinion. Now, one is that is the, I said it earlier on, is the evolutionary survival. Okay? Evolutionary survival. I said that already in an introduction. Back in the days of our ancestors, whether they were roaming the savannas or holding cattle in what we now call Namibia, for example, survival depend on the group. Okay? So I want you to understand this, and this has helped you to understand how your mind works when it comes to why do we care about others' opinion? Why do we care about what others think or say about us? So, yeah. So now, evolutionary survival. So the whole thing, what the survival depend on the group. So if you were to get kicked out of the tribe, maybe for rubbing someone's in the wrong way or whatever the case may be, or whatever, or you were toasted literally, facing lion. So now the thing is this. Let me say this. You know, whatever the case, whatever happened, you know, that you actually thrown out of the group, or you're kicked out of the tribe. So you are, then you are toasted, absolute toasted, literally toasted, because facing lions or starvation alone, so you will be now on your own. And given now that time, think about that, given that time. So now you couldn't survive on your own. So evolution wired us, to tune into others' opinion as a way to stay safe, to belong, and to thrive. Do you get me? So evolution has wired us so to tune into others' opinion. So because that's the way we stay actually safe, so we have to listen to other people, what the other people are saying. You know, if you don't, you know, how do you work together to achieve something? You know? So, and if you happen to be, as I said earlier, no, if you are kicked out of the tribe, out of the group, you are on your own. And now facing the land and salvation on your own, that could be very difficult. So that's why evolution now wired us. This is something that we inherited. Wired us to tune into others' opinion, what other people say about us or think. It's become, we care about it because that is a way to stay safe, belonging, and even to thrive as a community. All right? So it's like an ancient alarm system saying, you know, you have that now in you now. You kind of like have this ancient alarm system saying, hey, fit in or you are out. You know, fit in, just fit in or you are out. That's how we, and then we are now tuning to. So that's why we are actually tuning to the other people's opinion, because we got to fit in. Eh? We got to fit in or out. We are out. And we have, there's this, I think, it's a therapist, Fabiana Franco. So Fabiana reminds us that in the early times now, in the earlier times, membership in a clan or tribe was a requirement for survival. So when we think of that, it's still actually the same thing. So group membership provided safety, provided resources, and shared knowledge, you know? Yeah. So, and that, as I said, this is something that we have inherited. And that is still the case. That's why it's within us. It's an automatic, it's a natural behavior, it's a natural human behavior to care about what other people say. Now, as I said, this ancient wiring still actually running us. It's still running in us. We instinctively seek acceptance because historically, being ostracized, for example, could mean danger. So that's still within us. So that this wiring is actually still within us. So because because instinctively, without even knowing that, instinctively, we seek acceptance. Eh? So we seek to belong to, because as we know now from evolution, being ostracized or being rejected or being thrown out of the group actually could mean danger. So it's the same thing in a simple way. In a group, as a group of ladies, for example, you want to hear what others think. Why? With the dress you're putting on, you kind of like, what do you think? You know, you may be insecure with yourself because does this make me fit in the group? Would this shame the group if I'm wearing like this? You care about what they're thinking or what would they say about you. So that, as I said, historically, that wiring instinctively is still within us, but in a different, in a modern life. So, there is that aspect, you know, that we call evolutionary, you know, survival. Okay? So don't start actually chopping yourself or blaming yourself. Why am I like this? Everybody is like that, unless we grow into it. You know, we're also going to look at, you know, the when it's become a problem. Otherwise, we all care about what other people think. I mean, our family members, mostly it comes with, we care about what our children, what our husband, what our mother, what they say. So we care about that. So naturally, that is that's how we survive as a group. We depend on the group, and therefore part of that is being able to hear what other people's opinion. And this is instinctively is within us from that evolution, you know, aspect. So as I said, now understand that. So the evolution wired us to tune into, okay, to tune into others' opinions as a way to stay safe, to belong, and also to thrive as a group. All right. So that's also one reason why. Why do we care? Why do we care about others' opinion or about others? What they think about us or say about us. So that's one aspect that we can look at. Okay? I'm trying to open up that why this is happening to me. It's kind of like, okay, no. Relax. There's something that passed on to you. All right? First of all, there's something that passed on to you in that way. Secondly, there is also a need to we have this need, natural need to belong. We have, most of you who have done actually psychology or other sociology, there's a psychologist called, you know, Abraham Maslow. So this one even put love and belonging higher on human needs, okay, even above safety, okay? So now, the modern researcher called this, you know, what Abraham Maslow have done, call that the need to belong, all right? When we feel connected, our self-esteem rises. So when you feel you are connected, when you feel that you belong to this group, your self-esteem actually rises. You know, when your group that you belong to are complimenting you, telling, oh, you're the most beautiful girl here, or you're the guy, you're the man, you know, yeah, everything, you know, I like your shoes, all this kind of, you know, comment and whatever feedback that we get. So we, nobody is an island. I think there's a saying like that in English. So no man is an island. So we have this need to belong. And then when we feel really connected, you know, our self-esteem actually rises. When we feel rejected, then our self-esteem actually drops. So in fact, without a sense of belonging, we become vulnerable to increased, you know, loneliness. So when that's one thing now, when a person feel lonely, it's because they don't feel that they belong to somewhere. They belong to something, you know? So when we lack that belonging, when we are without a sense of belonging, we become vulnerable to increased loneliness, low self-esteem, depression, anxiety, and even suicide. Even suicide. So this need to belong, it's very, very important. And that drive, that's what it's a drive within us to actually care for what other people's saying, for what other people's, you know, think about us. That need to belong. So, and this shows how serious our mind takes our social standing, you know? So there's also, we also define ourselves by our group. Remember this, they said a need to belong, and that drives, you know, why we care about, because because that also, you know, boosts our, because that also help our self-esteem. And also, it could also, when we feel rejected, our self-esteem definitely goes down. Our self-esteem is how we see how our worthiness, you know, how worthy I am, you know, that's define our self-esteem. So therefore your worth would be defined by belonging to that group. And if you feel that you are connected to it, your worth, actually you feel that you are more, you're, as I said, you know, your self-awareness, not self-awareness, self-esteem goes up when you are rejected. So therefore, in that way, we would try everything to please, kind of like to abide to what is acceptable in the group that you belong to. All right? So think about if you have a church group and you go there, you know, this is a group that actually believes that, you know, you need to behave. Let's say, for example, you premarital sex. This is a group now said, yeah, we're not going to engage into sex until we're married. And you now go against that. So your kind of, because that group define your worthiness in terms of, if they praise, if you are now being praised in terms of, that's a good, that's very good, you know, we actually doing this, your self-esteem goes up because you are actually living up to what the group want, to what the group actually try to achieve. So, and then your self-esteem, your worth, you know, your self-worth goes down because you couldn't live up, you know, to that. So that need to belong is very important. So it's one drives us to care about what other people think about us or say about us. So the other thing is also that we also define ourselves by our group. Social identity theory. There is a social identity theory by, what is the guy's name? One is Tenner. The other one is, I can't remember the other one. Typho, I think. Yeah, Tajefo, something like. So they tell us that we drive part of our self-worth from the group we belong to. So nationalities, religions, you know, teams, it doesn't matter, even teams, you know? Yeah. So we drive part of our self-worth from the group that you belong to. All right? So you are actually, your self-worth is made up of the group that you belong to. And it could be different things that you are involved in. If you're a soccer player, you belong to a team, you know? So if you are, you have a nationality, you have a religion and all that. So our social identity. So, and therefore, we want to hear, because we are part of the group, we want to hear that we belong to. So we care about what members of the group says or, you know, or think about us. Okay? So let's say, for example, you're going to a wedding. So you're going to a wedding and you dress in a certain way. You might want actually to dress. So, but because of the social identity that you have, because of the social identity, you may actually just put on the dress that is acceptable within that social grouping. So you care about, this is now, it is driven by your social identity. Eh? Or in some churches, you want men, I don't have clothes. Well, the people, something, I don't have clothes to go to the church, you see? So it means there is some identity attached to belong to that group. Have a decent dress when you come to church, for example. So even if, because you want to go, but just because you don't have the dress that fit that social grouping, you are not going. You are held back. Do you understand? So I just wanted to make you understand, you know? So researcher also knows that group membership form part of a person's social identity. Now, that's also, as I said earlier, influences your self-worth, your self-esteem. So affiliating with a group can either boost your self-esteem as an individual, you know, as individuals drive pride from group achievement and a positive group image because, you know, you belong to that group. So, yeah, social identity is also one thing that really drive individual to care what other says or what other think about us. So in other words, being us make us feel valuable. You understand? So, but it's also mean we worry about, you know, we worry about slipping into our group's team. Eh? Now, we worry about slipping now into our group esteem. So, which is another way of caring about what others think, you know? Are you following? So because of the value in us, make us feel valuable. So it's now that slip into our group esteem, you know, that becomes a group esteem, which is another way now of us caring why, you know, what others think. All right. Now, the other thing, maybe under psychological foundation, in terms of why we care, why others think, why do we care about others, what others think or say about us, is the fear of rejection. And this is also, it's built on the evolutionary angle that we looked at. Some psychologists focus on social anxiety. So the fear of negative evaluation. So we have this guy, what is his name? Paul Gilbert, yeah? For example, notes that human evolved to compete for attractiveness to make good impression. Because those positive impression meant better chances at friends, mates, and resources. I took this because it's very, very, very telling. Why? So listen, that the human evolved to compete for attractiveness to make good impression. So what that means is that we actually, wherever you are, you wanna, a group has got, you know, a group has got value, all right? So any group has got some value, whatever it is, whether it's good or bad, depending on the group. So each group has got a value. And then we as member of the group, we now compete for attractiveness to make good impression. So what that means is that we we have to put on display. So we have to put on display for others to see that we actually living the best of what of that value. You know, if you are in church, you look as you are the most prayingful person. So if you are, so we compete for attractiveness to make good impression. And because those positive impression now meant better chances at friends, at mates, at resources. Now, what that mean also, okay, that add that portion, it means that if I have to look, okay, I have to know. Remember, we're talking about why do I think about, why do you care about what other people think? Now, what it means also here is that those impression, he said those positive impression meant better chances at friends, at mates, at resources. That's very crucial. Because why do you, if you want to, let's say for example, if you want a boyfriend, if you want someone, if you want, if you're looking for a husband or wife, what do? You present yourself in a best way too. Now that's the competitive, the attractiveness to make, that's a compete, that's now compete for attractiveness. So you make yourself look better. Okay? So the reason why you make yourself look better, it's because you want to make a good impression. And that impression, that positive impression, it meant a better chance. So the one who looked much better would be, you know, who do you make friends? So when you're, of course, it's someone who is, you know, maybe popular, eh? It's competition, you know, it's a compete of attractiveness. So you see, it's someone maybe who is popular or who is kinder, who, there must be some value of sort that create that attractiveness. So it is the best positive, you know, impression that would create that chance for you, for friend, for mate, and for resources. So even when you go let's say for example, you go for interviews, for example, you know, so the competitiveness, the what we do, how you dress and all that, how you present yourself, it's all for attractiveness to make good impression. Do you understand? So, and this is very important why we do that, because it matters now, this kind of, it matters to give that impression to them, you know, and that brings me, and that actually gave me a better chance at being hired. So do you understand the underlying aspect that we're talking about? So, and we're talking about fear of rejection, because I'm afraid of being rejected, so I present myself attractive in some ways to give a good impression so that I have a chance to get a job, have a friend, have a mate, have a husband, have a wife, whatever the case may be, have that resources. Do you understand? Are you following? So that's another underlying aspect, you know, and the reasons why, you know, why do we care what others are saying or thinking about us. So, yeah. So in the way, as I talk about interview, when you come there, you present yourself with the understanding that this would actually give a better impression to the people that are to the panel, and even the way you present yourself, so that you get a chance. Do you understand? So you care about what they would think about it, what they would think about, what they think about of you or say about you. All right? So that fear of rejection, you don't want to be rejected, and therefore you put on this good impression so that you cannot be rejected. remember what we talked earlier on, that the need to belong to, once we are rejected, so our self-worth, our self-esteem actually goes down. And therefore, this competition for attractiveness to make good impression. For any group anyway, think of any group or anything that you do. Okay? It could be a family structure. It could be within the family. It could be in a team, as I said. It could be anyway. It could be a group of friends. So, now, this guy, this Paul Gilbert, in his view, feeling ashamed or anxious about potential judgment can actually be adaptive. Okay? Can be adaptive. It keeps us aligned now with what our community expects of us. So, what it means is this, that, you know, you actually do, even if you don't want to, you do what is your community, what that community expect of us. You align, you know, yourself with what that community or our community expect of us. Yeah, but think of also the flip side. The flip side is, however, is that the system can become overreactive. Reactive, making us now fear not doing so and causing anxiety and even maybe, even in safe situation, that can be able to cause that anxieties as well. So, yeah. And each of these perspectives, I think, underlines one point, okay? Each of these perspectives underline one point. Our concern about others' opinion is deeply rooted. It's deeply rooted in our subconscious. And we didn't just learn it. We inherited it. We inherited it from our biology. From our biology and our need for social connections. So, yeah, because of social connection, and it's within our biologies as well but recognizing that help us now see that caring isn't weak. As I said earlier on, it's not something that, you know, abnormal. It's not something that is childish. So it's part of being human. The next challenge is actually managing it. So the next challenge is actually how to manage that. Not that this is something it's not something that we shouldn't be feeling or doing. Naturally, that it's naturally that's being human in the way we respond to things. All right. So when we come back, we're going to look at the cultural and the societal influence on why do we care what others are saying or think about us. So let me go back to the time. There's a song that I used to love this song, and I think you would love it too. It's Black Street Boys. You know, those Black Street Boys, no diggity. You know that I love you. I love the way you work it. No diggity. Let me get that song. All right. So it's a Black Street, and featuring Dr. Dre and Quin Pan. No diggity.
Yeah. You know what? I like the players. No diggity, no doubt. Drop the verse.
It's going down, fade to Black Street. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, a dog couldn't catch me. Say, tell me who could stop with Dre making moves, attracting honeys like a magnet, giving them orgasms with my mellow accent. Still,
at my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
No matter where you are,
down, good Lord. Baby got 'em open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much grounds, got game by the pound. Getting paid is a forte. Each and every day, true play away. I can't get her out of my mind.
Wow.
I think about the girl all the time.
Wow, wow.
East side to the west side, pushing fat rides, it's no surprise. She got tricks in the stash, stacking up the cash, fast when it comes to the gas. By no means average, it's on when she's got to have it. Baby, you're a perfect 10, I wanna get in. Can I get down so I can? I like the way you work it,
no diggity.
I got to bag it up,
bag it up.
I like the way you work it,
no diggity.
I got to bag it up,
bag it up.
I like the way you work it,
no diggity.
I got to bag it up,
bag it up.
I like the way you work it,
no diggity.
I got to bag it up.
She's got class and style, she knowledge by the pound. Baby never act wild, very low key on the profile. Catching feelings is a no. Let me tell you how it goes. Curves the word, spins the verb. Lovers it curves so freak. What you heard? Rolling with the fatness. You don't even know what the half is. You got to pay to play. Just for shorty bang bang to look your way. I like the way you work it. Trump tank all day, every day. You're blowing my mind, maybe in time. Baby, I can get you in my ride.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Oh, oh,
yeah. I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up, babe.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
No diggity. I got to bag it up.
Rose deep, flying first class from New York City to Black Street. What you know about me? Now the me, I'm saying Cartier wooded frame, sported by my shorty. As for me, icy gleaming pinky diamond ring. We bees to buy this click up on this scene. Ain't you getting bored with these fake vagrants? High shows improves, no doubt. I've been thinking so. Please excuse if I come across rude. That's just me, and that's how a play it's got to be. Stay kicking game with a capital G. Ask the people on my block, I'm as real as can be. Word is born. Faking moves never been my thing. So Teddy, pass the word to your nigga Chauncey. I'll be sending a call, let's say around 3:30. Queen Pim and
no
Black.
No diggity, no doubt, baby.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got the bag.
You're getting going on.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
yeah.
We out. All right, welcome back. That was Black Street. It's Black Street featuring Dr. Dre and Queen Pan. No diggity. So, yeah, going back into time. All right, welcome back. And we are talking about, why do we care? Why do you care what other people say or think about you? That's what we're talking about. And we were looking at some psychological foundations. Why do we care about, you know, about what other, why do we care what other people say or think about you. So, and we looked at the evolution of survival, that this is something that, you know, we inherited, and also a need to belong. You know, we when we feel connected, you know, our self-esteem rises, and when we feel rejected, you know, it drops. So, and this, yeah, so that without a sense of belonging, we become vulnerable, you know, we become vulnerable to increase, you know, to increase loneliness, to low self-esteem, depression, anxiety, you name it. Even sometimes people become suicidal, you know. So, and the other thing is a social identity that we are defined by ourselves, we define ourselves by our group that we belong to. Could be a nationality, could be a religious, could be a team, could be anything. So, and that drive, we derive part of our self-worth from the groups we belong to. So, and therefore the importance of the caring, the reasons why we care what other people say or think about us. So, yeah. And then we talked about the fear of rejection. That also a drive in terms of we want to make an impression, you know, for us to be able to, well, to stay in the group or to, for a positive impression, which means it's a better chance at actually, having friends, you know, mate, you know, resources, you can name it. All right. So that way, as I said, we evolve to compete for attractiveness, to make good, you know, good impressions. And that positive impression meant better. So what it meant better now, a better chance of at friends, a better chance at mates, a better chance to any other things you may think of. So, yeah, let's look at the cultural, you know, and societal influences and why. And we're looking at why do you care about what other people say or think about you? So we looked at the biology in terms of things that maybe we looked at. Our culture and environment, you know, are also very important. One is that, you know, your social media, if we look at the modern way now, your social media and the validations, you know, think about the social media platforms that you have, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and so on. So they are basically, you know, there is this guy called Dr. Bonnie Zucker. So they are basically giant stage. He kind of thinks that these are basically giant stage for social approval. You understand? These are giant stage for social approval. So he points out that social media can feed into excessive reassurance, you know, seeking behavior and unhealthy attempts at getting validation from others. So what he's saying is that, in other words, is that posting this that selfie or status update often becomes a beat. You know, you're kind of like beating. You're beating for praise. You understand? We watch for the likes. We watch for the comments. And so, and when we look at those are like a social, that's what they call social currency. So we're waiting for the likes and comments, and we watch all that because they are like social currency, you know? It's like money. Eh? So he's saying that, you know, this is actually a giant stages, a giant, this social platform, a giant stage for social approval. And when we do that, we actually, when we do the selfie and say the update, what we do actually, we beat for praise, kind of like beating when you're beating for a tender or any other thing, when you're beating for, when you're pitching for something, you know. So this is, it's like that. It become like a beat for praise. So we kind of like looking for validation. But as he noted that those likes are usually a temporarily fixed, you know, they are the fixed, they are temporarily fixed. And then that in itself, so it becomes something that we end up chasing. Now we end up chasing that repeatedly because it's a temporary fix. You put up this picture. So you get all this praise, you know, you get all this praise, but in the end, you know, it doesn't take much longer, maybe 2-3 days. And then the praise and the comments are not coming in anymore. So then what we do, we end up now chasing them repeatedly. So we end up putting up another one. So, and then it becomes the loop. So, which can become now exhausting and anxiety producing as well. So, yeah. So remember now what we're talking about. So this can become a circle of looking for social approval and validation. So, and we have, there's another one of my favorite, William Derbyshire. He's actually a philosopher who describes social media as a performance art. You know, he looked at it that with dozen or hundred of invisible watchers. Now, this is a performance art with the people that are watching you, but you don't see them. Hundred and thousand, some have millions, you know, with dozen of hundred of invisible watchers. Now, you begin performing. You begin for performing rather than just conversing, you know. So what do? The applause, the likes now, you know, when you're like in a performance, you get the applause, the likes, they feel nice, okay? But it's not, but it's short-lived as the other one said, but it must be chased perpetually. He's also with the point that this must be chased perpetually. Very good morning. Welcome to Mind Matters.
Well, good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
What happened?
How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I can't hear you. What is going on? Good morning.
Good morning. Maybe like yesterday.
Something
happening
is absolutely wrong with my...
Okay.
I'm sorry, my dear. I don't think I hear you.
No, it's okay. Try to look at your technical...
Good morning. Something is wrong with my phone. All right. I can't hear you. I don't know whether the people can hear you, but I cannot hear you. And if I cannot hear you, I don't know how to communicate with you. Everything is on. All right. Maybe I should have. Yeah. Do try again, and let's see if we can hear you next time. But I couldn't hear you last time. So please do come through again, and then we see if I can hear you, or is something actually on my side. 0833-66091 is the number you can call. Yeah. So as I was saying, you know, the William was just actually confirming Zucker's note, Zucker's point, where he's saying that, you know, he describes social media as a performance art, you know, the performance art. Now you have invisible people that are watching at you, that are watching your performance. So, and you begin performing, and rather than just, you know, and then you get all this applause, the likes now, that feels nice. So, but those are short-lived, as Baka said, and must be now chased perpetually. So we have now to chase that. So, and this cultural shift mean many of us constantly compare our behind the scene now, our behind the scene to everyone else highlight reels, you know, the highlight reels feeling judged or invisible as a result. So that's why it's very important for us, you know, to seek those, you know, those validation from others. And we start to think, okay, maybe we start comparing ourselves that, you know, now you look at your behind the scene, you know, kind of life to someone's highlight reel, the things that you see, which is not real. You understand? So, and you feel like, you know, maybe I'm not being, let's see if I can. Good morning.
Morning, Mike.
Yeah, I can hear you now. I don't know what was wrong with me. Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
How are you?
We haven't got, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, okay. I think that your question is very complex, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the way I understand it, it also has to do with, yes, there are those social acceptable norms.
Yeah.
Those ones that each and every one, some of these things are really written already to our heart.
Mm.
And as we grow, and we know that socialize in some of those aspects. And now, because sometimes it's really to avoid, just to preserve the reputation also is very important.
Mm.
Yeah, so that, because sometimes the character can be very tarnished.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because of wrongdoing or, you know. Maybe perhaps if on that area where you think your reputation, your character, issue like that.
Mm.
And also just to put this into really perspective. Because there's misunderstanding, misconception, and all disunderstanding, and we don't even understand each other. People are different.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now sometimes it's difficult for us to, when we put more expectations from those people, we expect them to behave like that. It says, because according to the social acceptable standard,
mm.
so it's fine. And whenever there are behaviors that are deviant and are in conflict with the regulation or prescribed laws and all the things, then we. But in many a times, we shouldn't just be so much carried out by really worrying about what people are saying.
Yeah.
As long as they are not really getting into our privacy.
Yeah.
To say, for example, to you know, some kind of extortions, kind of crimes, and all those defamation and issues of that nature.
Mm. I think so the danger, but probably the other danger is that your life may become, they may be, your life may be determined or dictated by, if you have that fear of what people saying, what would people say, then you won't be able to do anything because you kind of like, okay, if I do this wrong, then these people would say this or they will look at me like this. And therefore you stay where you are. You're not moving or you're just pleasing people and yourself are not happy.
And in fact, you lose your peace. See?
Exactly.
You have to worry about what people gossip about you or say. Like I said, some of those things you don't necessarily need to worry.
Yeah.
Except where you think that your privacy, your personalities, your characters, your reputation is very impaired or deformed.
Yeah.
Just by comments of people and things like that. But it's just, that the buena is what, you know, like they say.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why they just encourage you to hammer more,
yeah,
or to read more and research more and do some more talking.
Yeah.
So, so it's not, I think, for us to maintain our peace, because worries and anxieties and just to be so much concerned of what they are saying, it can really paralyze your thinking and your focus.
Yeah.
And then you even become sick.
Yeah,
because you think the people that are saying, so they are just enjoying their life, you know. Some of them are doing it deliberately to provoke you,
yeah,
and see your true character and things like that. But I think it's just a complex question that you are asking.
Yeah.
But in terms of psychology, for our well-being, so we shouldn't be too much carried out away by all those gospel and all these other things that people are saying.
Mm.
So as long as you put yourself in check, you control your emotion and regulate them properly there, so that when you become bitter on the other side,
yeah,
and then the devil take advantage.
Exactly, yeah.
And then you become so polarized.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Mike, for the opportunity.
No, thank you, Uncle Gwara, for coming through. Yeah?
Good.
All right. All right, so you can do the same. Do join me. Do come through and then give us, tell us why do you care? Why do you care what other people are saying or think about you? So why? So because most of us do, and I have given you some. I've given you a way. We looked at where this is coming from a psychological point of view, why it's naturally human to care. You know, and we are also looking from a social point of view, from social and cultural influences. We say that there are also social and cultural influences that lead us or that create that condition within us, if I can put it there, that create that condition within us to care. So we talk about the validations, social media and invalidation. We just talked about that. So the other thing is peer and social pressure, you know. So we always want to belong. We talked about that earlier on. From childhood onward, peers contribute to our sense of belonging and our feeling of self-worth. You know, even when you have a teenager now, they more prefer to listen to to their friends than actually to you as a parent. So because they trying to find themselves, they have a sense of belonging to the peers, to the people of the same where they hang out, and that create their self-worth, you know. So and also when it comes to school, workplace, they have unspoken, kind of like have unspoken and sometimes spoken, you know, codes. We have those kind of codes, either in a working environment, schools, wherever, those codes, which how we dress, how we talk, and how we behave in different environment, in different situations. So, yeah. So, and this could be, as I said, could be culturally as well. When you're in a certain area, when you're in certain condition, when in certain environment, when you're in certain circumstances or situations, there are those codes, sometimes spoken, sometimes not spoken. You know, how do we dress? You know, you dress differently when you go to the wedding or you're going to the funeral or when you're going to a baby shower party or when you go to a birthday party. There are those codes. You know, how we dress, how we talk, how we behave, and those also determine, you know, you kind of like now, even if you want to do something differently, you kind of like, this is nonsense. You kind of have to abide by those codes, you know, and in the way, and if you value your peer and the social pressure, and this is, we're talking now that the peer, if you value your peer, you actually have to adhere to those codes. You know, you have to abide by those codes. So, and that's why this is also where this is coming from. It's because we are part of this group,
and whatever social setting. And in those social settings, there's unspoken and spoken codes. And therefore, we actually then abide by those codes. So the peer pressure, this peer pressure teaches us early, very early in our life, to pay attention now to other people's opinion. You understand? While we are very young already, that's actually it teaches us that we need to pay attention to others' opinion. So because it shapes our identity and can make us very sensitive to approval and criticism. So because we realize that it's not nice not to be part of the group, it's not nice to be criticized by the group, it's not by your peers, and by having that peer pressure, it wasn't. So now what you try to do is to do everything, you know, to please the group, to be part of the group. Eh? So, and we can look even bigger. The mass media and advertising play a role as well. They also play a role, constantly sending messages about the right way to look, the right way to live. So, which can amplify feelings that we must measure up. So that's actually amplifying up. This is what we need to measure up. And therefore, we kind of already judge ourselves. So, and therefore, we're looking at what other people might say, you know, are we actually in line with what is a trend out there? Are we in line with what is a trend out there? Are we in line with the current message, you know? So all of those contribute to how definitely why do we care what other people say. And also the cultural expectations. There are lots of so many things that a culture expects you. In many society today, success is publicly measured. It's publicly measured by the status, by our wealth, by the follower on your account. So success is measured by that. So, and then we are bombarded with images of seemingly perfect lives, you know, which can make anyone feel judged or inadequate by comparison. Now, when you're comparing yourself, you kind of feel like, hey, I don't live up to this man. I'm actually not there, you know? So you remember that this is the rise of FOMO, you know, the fear of missing out. It's a cultural phenomenon reflecting anxiety about not meeting social standards. All this factor means that more than ever before, it is easy to think, what will anyone say if I do this? So that make you already to think, what will anyone think, or what would anyone say if I do this? So yeah. So those are some of the factors that actually contribute to why do we care what other people think or say about you, about us. So now what I want to go into it, when is it, and this is the very important part, okay? This is the most important part. When is it actually a problem, caring what other people say or think about you? I think this is the most important part. So, and we have a guy called, it's a sociologist, I think, Fred Newman, said it best. There's this quotation, he said, it is important not to measure yourself by the standard of other people. So when is it a problem? Okay? Caring what other people saying or think about you. Think about this statement by Frederick, you know, Newman, that it is important not to measure yourself by the standard of other people. So it becomes a problem when you start actually to measure yourself by the standard of other people. Now, but you can say, well, but sometimes you have to compare yourself with others in terms of for you to excel. Yeah, you're right. But
not to detriment of your peace of mind. As long as it's not to the detriment of the peace of your mind. So when is it a problem? When your peace of mind relies on approval of from others. So when for you to feel okay, it's only when you, because that can become a cycle. When you to feel okay, it's only when other people say, well, you look good in that. So maybe there's a dress that you like. It's just because someone doesn't like it and he said, well, I don't like that dress. So now you're actually not gonna, you are not gonna put it on just because someone else said they don't. So when now your peace of mind really relies on the approval from others, that you cannot really have a peace of mind by the choices you make yourself, by the decision you make, but only if it relies on the approval of others, then that starts to become a problem. That starts to become a problem. And when you allow, now, this is also very important, when you allow the opinion of other, you know, others to compromise you to the point you become what you think they want you to be rather than being who you want to be. Are you following? So it becomes a problem when you allow the opinion of others to compromise you. Now, to compromise you to the point where you become what you think they want you to be rather than who you want you to be. So you actually live your life with a viewpoint that this is how they want me to be. So for me to be accepted, to be part of this group, for people to like me for who I am, I have to be this way. So you pretend to be something that you are not. Just, you know, just that you get their approval. You get their validation. And you are not being who you want to be. So in the, you sacrifice the person you want to be and become what you think they want you to be. So then that's when it becomes a problem. And then you have to judge yourself. Is that how I am? It can become, over a long time, over a long period of time, you may not even think that that's what you are, but often you actually live by how you want other people, how you think other people would perceive you, rather than how you yourself see yourself. Over time, that can become a habit for you. Whenever you are out there, you are being what you think would people would want you to be rather than who you want to be. Or maybe they say a faces that you portray, you know, because that's what you want people to see rather than who you really are. Now, the other thing is that when it's become a problem, when it's become a problem caring what other people say or think about you, it's also when if you are so obsessed with how others perceive you, that you even stop allowing Anna to get to know the real you. You understand? So you are so obsessed with how other people, how others perceive you, and that you don't even give them opportunity to get to know who the real you. You put on this facade, or how do they call it? You know, this false image of yourself, you know, then that becomes a problem because you just want them to, because that's how you care how much they would see you, who they want. Remember what we said earlier, who you think they want to be, who you think they want you to be rather than who you really are. So you are obsessed now with how others perceive you rather than actually allowing them to get to know the real you.
So the other thing is also you change yourself. So you change yourself in response to criticism, which is in some way, sometimes it's important. You know, you criticize about, there are constructive criticism. You are, you know, regardless of what it is and who it come from, sometimes it's, you need to, you know, maybe it's a constructive criticism and you change. But here, what I'm referring here is that, you know, you actually change yourself based on criticism. You know, if it's a constructive criticism, as I said, that's fine. So every time you are being criticized, you know, and let's say, for as I said, someone said, I don't like that dress. It doesn't go well with your tone of, with your skin tone, for example. So from there, you never wear that dress again. You understand? But when you buy it, when you bought it, it's kind of like, this is a beautiful dress and I look great in it. So, but when now you get that criticism, you kind of like throw it away. And the other thing, when it becomes a problem, when you also let other people make a decision for you, you understand? So you don't make decision anymore for yourself. Your decision now are actually made by other people. That's when it becomes really a problem. So that you care too much about other people's opinion rather than your own. So there are also those ones who are constantly apologizing, even when they did nothing. Even when they did nothing wrong, they keep apologizing. I'm sorry, you know. So then that becomes also a problem because you care more about hurting other people rather than even if they're in the wrong. So even if you are not in the wrong, you care more about other people's, you know, how they will accept you, how will they receive you, how will they perceive you. You know, even if you are not in the wrong, so then you constantly apologizing even something that you haven't done. So then that becomes a problem. And the other thing is also, when you also allow, you know, what other people say or think about you affect your mood. When it affects your mood, when it affects your emotions and feelings in a negative ways, like let's say from being depressed, being angry, or feeling overly upset, then that becomes a problem. Then it's when it becomes a problem. That's also when it, caring about what other people saying or think of you, that is when becoming a problem. So, and also, if you don't follow your own ethics, when now you don't follow your own ethic, you don't follow your own morals, you don't follow your own standard because of what others are saying, so then that also becomes a problem. So that means you abandon who you are, how you were brought up, the things that you learn, right or wrong, the things that you learn as right or wrong, you abandon all that. So then that's when it's really becoming, that's when, you know, what others say or think about you becomes a problem. So everyone, I think this is natural that everyone wants to be liked and accepted. We all want to be liked and accepted. But many of us spend too much time and energy worrying about what other people think. Yeah? And I can tell you, not many people actually spend their time thinking about you. We all are self-centered. We all are in our problems. You know, maybe when they see you is when they think of, you know, but normally, people are also concerned about their own issues. So, but we have somehow this understanding this misunderstanding that, you know, people spend time thinking about us. They don't. People don't spend their time, even your family members, they don't spend time actually thinking about you. Oh, well, unless someone is actually in love with you, yeah, that's something different. So their focus now is on you, that's totally different. Yeah. So, yeah, those are some of the things that you should pay attention, that you should self-evaluate. Am I abandoned? Have I abandoned my ethics and morals and standard because of what others are saying? So, what others are saying, has that affect my mood, my emotions, and feeling in a negative way? So, am I constantly apologizing, even when I did nothing wrong? Are my decisions really dictated by other people? So, do I change myself just because of the criticism that come my way, regardless of what it is or who it come from? So am I obsessed with how people sees me, you know? So those are some of the things that you need to ask yourself. And if your answer is yes and yes and yes and yes, so maybe you actually need to look at yourself and evaluate where you are at in terms of, you know, how do you, why do you care? Why do you care what other people think or say about you? So let's have another music break, and then we come back and looking at, you know, how do we stop that? So how do we stop thinking, you know, caring? How do we stop caring what others think about and think or say about us? So I wanted the old song. All right, let's have Boyz II Men.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas. How does that make you feel?
Mike.
The love I have right next to me is here and always will be. I'm caressing body emotionally as you can feel and will see.
Participation, and we all want a thriving democracy, don't we?
Let's all contribute to a thriving democracy by being active participants and voting in the upcoming regional council and local authority elections on 26 November 2025. Let's play our part. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
That's Tony Braxton. He wasn't a man enough for him, for her. So welcome to Mind Matters. Our time is about 10 minutes to 1 o'clock. It's 50 minutes past the hour of 12. And this is Mind Matters. And we have been talking about why do we care? Why do you care for what other people, why do you care what other people think or say about you? So that was the question that that we looked at. So we looked at, you know, the psychological and social influence that make us behave in that way. That is something that is not, it's a natural behavior, but there are other factors that actually contribute why we behave in that way. We look at those psychological factors and also social and society influence on us as well. So yeah, and we just also looked at, you know, when caring of what other people think or say, when does it become a problem? And we look at some of those as well. And now you might be listening and thinking, okay, but how do I stop caring so much? How do I break free from this echo chamber, for instance? So it's a valid question. And believe me, it is a journey. Okay. It is a journey, not an overnight fix. This is not something that you can fix. It's just in an overnight, but there are practical steps we can talk about or we can take right here, right now. So one of those steps is actually, if you want to regain control over what, you know, so that you don't really remember. Now, when I say to regain control, is that you're absolutely given power to other people to control how you remember. When we're talking about when is the problem, to control your, maybe to control your mood, to control your decision, to control, you know, what you think and all that. So yeah, if you want to regain that control, one of the thing is really to become more self-aware. Notice when you care. When do you really feel, when do you care? So is it when you are talking to your parents? So when you're talking to your parents, maybe there is an element of respect and of course, coming from things that we talked about earlier on in terms of cultural influence, social influence and all that. And think about, so this is, when do you, is it only when then? Is it when you are, is only when you care? Is it only when you're talking to your parents? Is it when you are at a family gathering or something like that? Or is it when you are scrolling through social media, for example, or seeing everyone else seemingly perfect lives? When do you care? You know, I want you to keep a little mental note. Okay? Keep that little mental note for yourself. And this awareness is actually the first step to regaining your control. So because you understand now, when do you actually care? You know, when do you care what other people are saying or think about you? So, and by keeping that mental note, you will see where the pattern is, you know, and be able now to realize that, okay, every time when I'm talking to my peers, I do things that I don't do things that I want to do. You know, I don't do things that I want to do. I'm mostly doing what is more acceptable to the group, but these are not my values. You understand? You will be able to notice the patterns. And that's why the first thing maybe to do is to keep that little mental note noticing when do you care? Okay? Because it could be different in different situations. When do you care? So it's good to get that pattern out to understand when do you really care. So the other thing is also not all the opinions are created equal. All right? Not all the opinions completely are created equal. Learn to, now, what I want you to do is separate a feedback that is aimed at helping you. You know, maybe there's a feedback that's aimed at helping you improve from criticism. Make a difference, a difference between constructive criticism and negativity. So there could be a feedback that aimed to help you, you know, to improve. Yeah, differentiate that from criticism that is actually designed to tear you down or keep you small or whatever the case may be. So you have to make a difference, okay, that this it's a feedback that actually aimed at improving. Maybe it's coming from a parent, coming from a close friend, whatever the case may be. So you have to make that difference. So to differentiate between a constructive criticism and negativity. So ask yourself, is this person trying to help me grow? Or are they just expressing their own fears? Sometimes people just express their own fears and their biases. It's not that they actually helping you to grow. It's their own fears and biases that they're expressing. So that would actually then help you to understand and be able to stop, you know, and be able then to stop caring so much. So because you see where it come from. All right. So, yeah, and the other thing is also, there is where, you know, this is now where that self-awareness really comes into play, you know. Build your inner compass. You know, what are your values? What are your goals? What make you feel fulfilled? So when I said build that inner compass, it means that your directions should come from within. So if it's dictated by outside, by external circumstances and people, then you don't have something that direct you. And that's why you can, you know, you would rely more on the validation from outside of yourself. You rely more on the validation outside of yourself. So what are your values? What are your goals? And what are you, when are you? What make you feel fulfilled? So when you have a strong sense of your own internal compass that I said, I would like to call it internal compass, the noise from outside becomes less defining. So think about what truly matters. What truly matters to you? What is that matters to you? Identify what truly matters to you. Maybe it's your family. Your family loyalty could be also one of them. Personal growth could be one of. So this would guide the decision over others' noise. So this would actually guide your decision that you're making over other people's noise. So build your inner compass. That's very important. So, and let that guide you. So I remember a time when I was working on a community project. It's already 1 minute. Okay. Let's that slide. So I wanted to give you an example of something. So the other thing is that stay in your own business. Stay in your own bits. Focus on what you control. What do you control? You can control youth. You control your thoughts. You control your actions, not others' judgment. When a neighbor gossip about you, about whatever, about your home, about your car, about whatever, so remind yourself: their opinion is their business. My peace is mine. You understand? So stay in your own business. So, and the other thing is also realize that emotion come from your interpretation, not others' word. Others can say whatever they want, you know, change the story, change the feeling. with how you interpret it. So if a boss criticism hurt, you know, reframe it as a feedback, for example, okay? Not a failure. You know? So, and grow from it without self-doubt. Right? So it's a feedback, not a failure. All right? So in that way, this is a feedback, not a failure. And then you can be able to grow from that. You see how that changes how you, your outlook and you're moving forward. So, and sometimes trust that every choice comes from a positive intent with what you know at the time. I always said when you make a decision, it's always like, at this point in time, I'm making the decision based on what I know. You know, acknowledge you are doing your best, but trust that every choice comes from a positive intent with what you know at that time, and no regrets. So maybe after a failed business venture, criticized by friends, pat yourself on the back, you know, pat yourself on the back for trying and learn for next time. You understand? So instead of really, you know, thinking, oh, I'm a failure, pat yourself on the back and try and learn and see this as a learning for the next time. Embrace your mistakes as well. Everyone, yes, everybody make mistakes. Use them for growth with more self-compassion, you know. Everybody make mistakes. Things that you could say to a friend when they failed, for example, when they, you know. So those are the things. Be compassionate about yourself. And please surround yourself with people in your life who genuinely cheer you, you know, who cheer you on, who lift you up when you're feeling down. So make time for them as well. So, yeah. So as we're talking about, as we have been saying, caring what others think is not inherently bad. It's not something that is actually bad. So it is a degree to which we let it dictate our lives that matters. A degree to which you let it dictate your lives. So it's about finding that balance. It's about honoring our need for connection without sacrificing our authentic self. So, well, time flies when we are getting deep. It's 3 minutes already. Remember this. Caring shows you are a human being. All right? You're a human connected and alive. So that's what it means. It shows that you are human, you are connected, and you are alive. So, but don't let it chain you. Don't let it chain you. Embrace your Namibian roots of community, you know, where we say, umuntu kumuntu kabantu, while claiming your individuality as well. So you are enough, just as you are. Live boldly, Namibia. Your life is yours to shape. So, your life is yours to shape. Until next time, I will leave you in the hands of Elizabeth. Probably she is waiting already. So coming up is Elizabeth with Elizabeth World. Until next Saturday, same time, same frequency here on Eagle FM. So for me, Michael Chavelli, it's a goodbye for now. Until then.